But I've been just thinking over the last few days, what we do on earth now matters for eternity. And I've been going through a rough time with health and blood pressure and all that. But I know God is on the throne. But it does make you realize. And it makes you think. And I have never soaked so much in his presence. I've never spent so much time with him. When you're weak, you cry out and you call out more and more for him. But God says, you know, don't get caught up in the things that take you away from him. And even in sickness, you can be taken away from him because of anxiety and all that. But when you get close to him, you know, and don't let the enemy take you away for what you are called to do. And this message is so in my heart, and I pray the Holy Spirit that I bring it out, that you hear my heart and what I'm saying. You know, we need to cast everything aside to follow Jesus. And we're in that time right now that we've got to say, for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, it's so hard, you know, and I've picked it up with Di. It's so hard sometimes to even go into your own family because you get battled and battered around. But we have to stand up for righteousness and not ever bow down to their level on what they're saying. Nothing matters in life but what you do for Christ. And you know, here I am in my 70s, and I have noticed that life just flies by. And I can't believe how the years have gone, to be honest. All those ones in 70, you can, you know, and then people around you are starting to go to heaven. But this is for young people as well. This is more for young people, because you've still got a life ahead of you. You've still got things to do. So have we. We've got to run the race right to the end. Why? Jesus is the only way, and he's the only thing that matters. In Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. And that's where my heart is. I just love the Lord so much that I just say, are you hearing me, Lord? You know, I love you so much. And I just felt in the worship today, we could go right into the throne room. We can in our church. We had a beautiful letter from a person that went to the conference who just loved the worship. And they just said the worship that took them to heaven. So that was Bianca and them, just thank you. James on the drums. James, you have a beat from heaven that I don't think anybody else has got. And you make such an influence and such an anointing on the worship. And I miss it when you're not there, because I feel the beat of heaven. Because I feel people are walking in heaven. Every time you beat, you know, and the Father's kind of walking with the beat of heaven. I just feel that, you know. And I just think, keep going. How we are to desire Jesus more than anything. I'm going to repeat this quite a bit. One day we all stand before God. What are we investing in our lives? What did I do in my life for Jesus? We can't waste our lives on things that are of the world. Not one part of it. We have to be totally, totally surrendered to him. Because we're going to stand before him one day. And we give an account of the things that we've done. I just see eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And while we're on earth, I mean, it was only yesterday I was born. You look back on the photos, you know, and then I put photos, it was Angela's birthday, I get all her baby photos. That was just yesterday. She's 46 now. You know, it's like every day make it count for Jesus. Every day touch somebody with the love of the Lord. Wow. Invest goodness into people. I love it when someone said, Trish, you encouraged, you prayed for me, and you prophesied over me, and it was a turning point in my life. And I just go, oh God, thank you that you used me. Even if I turn one person around, touch them for the kingdom. You know, I'm sure these speakers like Billy Graham and that had someone that prayed for them to come into the kingdom to be something great. But we can all be great in our own ways for him. In Galatians 6:10, this is New Living Translation. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So that's all with us. And I have never met so many hurting Christians that have been hurt in the church. And yet God is saying that we are to be loving. We mightn't see eye to eye with everything. But we're all so different. And we bless them in what they're doing. Being good to everyone, that's our words. I always feel, when I'm encouraging and exhorting, I see it like honey. You know, when you say horrible words, it's like lemons. And you can't smile. You just think of a lemon now. Try and whistle. Do you know what I'm getting? But when you speak words of encouragement, and it's like honey to the lips. It's sweetness. It's revelation. Honey is sweetness and revelation. I love it. You know, the Lord put honey in my mouth one day. Sometimes I taste it. I'm going, there's the honey again. But it's like when we speak encouraging, exhorting, building one another up, it's the honey. But you think when you criticize, when you judge, it's like a lemon. And after you've sucked on a lemon, there's pictures on Facebook, these little ones, and the mother gives them a lemon. It's cruel. It's cruel. And they go, oh! You know, the first taste of lemon. You know, and children, so. Can you remember that? And when you give them a bit of honey, yum, 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 I want some more. But God is saying to love one another, encourage one another. We haven't got time to criticize and pull each other down. Because God wants us to live a life that's just fully for Him. You know, we're a family. We need to honor, love, encourage, forgiving one another. This is terrible, but I saw this on Sid Roth, and someone else might have too. There was this lady, and she was in the meeting. She was worshiping. She was just sitting there like as if she was one of us. And then in the spirit, she was her soul, her whole thing was slurped into hell. And she was in hell, and this is the meeting's still going, but she was in this vision, but it was so real. And she could hear the cries of those ones that were in agony, and she felt her flesh burning off her, and the stench, and the torment, and the crying out. And then all of a sudden she was pulled back into the meeting. And she said, God, she was shaking. God, what was all that about? And he said, don't criticize. Forgive people that have hurt you. And after I watched that, I said, God, I want to forgive everybody. And God showed me that I'd forgive doctors. Now, see, sometimes we don't realize what we need to forgive. And he said, write a list. You know, and then the first one was my twin sister. went to the doctor and he said, there's nothing wrong with you, and she died the next day. So I wrote that down, and I think that's affected me. You know, I go to doctors and I shake. I can go to the dentist, you can drill, you can do anything. Not a problem. Doctors? And so I'm thinking, I've got to forgive. I was abused by a doctor, sexually abused. You know, and I felt I'd been neglected. And so I wrote down the things, and I forgave and I forgave, and I'm going, yes, that feels so good. But see, sometimes you don't know what you need to forgive. God will show you. Because I, you know, the people that have hurt me through church, being a pastor, I've had many. Someone came up to me the other day at Ian's and said, oh, this woman's just criticizing you all the time. And I just thought, I don't have to worry about her, but I bless her in Jesus' name. I bless her, and I truly have got to that point where I can bless. Because usually when a person criticizes or puts you down, they've got a rejection in them. So I pray for their rejection. Wow. But a critical spirit is an obsessive attitude of criticism and fault finding. Ever been around one of those? But in Romans 14:10-12, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you find contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Doesn't that bring... That makes you think, doesn't it? Don't go to bed angry. Go to bed saying, God, give me the opportunity to be like you. That my hands, your hands are my hands. What I say would be what Jesus would say. It's just, life is too short, and we give an account. And I know this is a serious subject, but this is what God said to bring. Because he does say, when you run the race, good and faithful servant. But there's some that will stand. Everybody gives account. Ones that don't know Jesus, but the ones that do. And ours is what? The things that we didn't do. So if you see a lady hobbling around and God says pray for her, even if it's in Chartwell, just go up to her and say, I would like to pray for you. I think we've got to get out of the boat. I think we've got to make our lives matter. I think we've got to do more. We've got to share the gospel. We've got to share with people and put hope in them. We have got something so precious and so beautiful and so amazing. And that is, we've got Father God, we've got Jesus, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. And God is saying, will you share me to the world? This, I tell you what, New Zealand is slipping down so badly. I mean, here's euthanasia into the second sitting. We've got to pray. Abortions, right up until 9 months. Hey, we've got to pray. Bibles aren't in schools anymore. Soon we can't even talk about Jesus. But God said, make your life matter. Amen. This is a message right from my heart. It's just, it's like I have a cry in my heart where God said, don't be apathetic. You know, you get into the word, read the word, worship me, get into tongues. You know, if we get into our heavenly language, how often do we spend in tongues? I'm serious. God's given us a gift, and speaking in tongues builds us up, but it's also talking in the heavenly. Every one of us has got a different tongue. Isn't that miraculous? I've told you I've tried to copy Clive's because he's in it all the time. I'm going, what are you saying? He says, I'm in tongues. And I'm going, oh, yes. And then he comes in his tongue, and I'm trying to copy it, and I'm going, I like his tongue, Lord. Mine's still gum. And God says, enjoy your tongue that I've given to you. Even if you do a lot of yubba yubbas. And skis. I go skiing all the time. And it's like, but it's God is saying, make life matter. Because we are going to stand before God. Just honestly, nothing else matters on earth but to be totally, totally surrendered to Jesus. I don't want to have any regrets when I get to heaven. I want to love and love and love and love on people. Because that's the first thing God asks you. Did you love much? The enemy gets us and pulls us into things, and you can get out of whatever the enemy's pulled you into. There's so many men in pornography. You can come out of it if you surrender and get into God. There's other things that, you know, watching the wrong movies, looking at things that aren't of God, getting on Facebook and, I don't know, just... The Lord's been speaking to me. We've got to look at the time of what we're using it for. Time is slipping by, and the enemy brings things to take us out. But God is saying, will you surrender? Will you run the race that's set before you? You know, I have mucked up. And I grieve about that. I've mucked up lots in my life, right back when I was younger. There was quite a few years that I wasted. I was full of myself, full of the world, full of who can I flirt with. You know, when my first marriage broke up, I was devastated. I was in the open brethren. They didn't know what to do with me. And before I got baptized on the Holy Spirit, I just flirted. And I regret that. I wanted to be loved. I'd never been healed. My heart had never been healed. I needed the Father heart. I needed Father's love. I needed Mother's love. I didn't know where to go. And I looked all in the wrong places. And because I'd been sexually abused, the familiar spirit would pull these men. And I'd go, wow, I'm something. They like me. But I look back on that time and I'm going, God, I'm so sorry. And the wonderful thing about God, he's saying, Trish, I've forgotten all that. I have forgiven you. I have cleansed you. I have purified you. Even though the days that were wasted, he said, Trish, you're making up time. When I got healed of my heart with my brokenness, you know, sometimes we have so broken that that's what affects us for the rest of our life. But when we let Daddy God heal our brokenness, when we allow Jesus to love on us and take over, when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak truth unto us, I love the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm journaling away there, and then I said, now what do you say, Holy Spirit? And sometimes he says something and I laugh and I said, why didn't I see that? But he puts you on the road. He puts you on the right road. He's a spirit of truth. He's my comforter. He gives me revelation. I love the Holy Spirit. I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him. I walked so many years in a religious church without the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit helps you to the Father. The Holy Spirit helps you to know Jesus. And when you've got the Holy Spirit just pulsing through, you fall in love with Jesus more and more and more. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to look at Isaiah 6 and I'm just... I'll go over this quickly, but it fits in with my story, okay? What I'm trying to relay to you.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And with one cried, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people."
That was anointed. Wow, just listening to that, doesn't it bring you the anointing? You know, I just want to briefly go over this, but Uzziah, Clive was telling me, was a sinful king. And he ended up with leprosy and they put him out in the camp. But Isaiah had walked with him. Isaiah had been with these people that were evil in God's sight. So God knew that Isaiah had a heart for him, but he wanted him to come out of what he's been in to receive and see the glory of the Lord. And sometimes we've got to come out of the world, we've got to come out of things or people that pull us down or people that aren't, you know, just... full of the I love being with people full of the Holy Spirit. I just connect and I want to talk more. But Uzziah, he became a wicked king and was given leprosy. But now he had died. And I love it, the seraphims. Holy. Each one had six wings. Whew, we've read it. But he says, and one cried to another, "Holy. Holy." They don't say it once. They don't say it twice. Holy. They say it three times. I just want you to say that and just be in that holiness. Come on. Holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord. Lord of hosts. What I love about Isaiah, he looked up. And we've got to look up. We've got to look up. Isaiah needed to experience the holiness of God. Wow. Yeah, I love it. I've got here, Isaiah put his eyes upwards and he saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And I love it when I'm in worship and you just lift your eyes up unto him. And I always see the Lord, and I always just straight away, I'm there. I said to Clive, it's so easy to get into his presence. We're singing at home. I'm right there because I love him so much. And I see the Lord. Sometimes he has a big purple gown on, and his hands are always out to me. Come. Come, I want to know you more, Trish. I want to tell you all about me. I want you to know me. And this was Isaiah. And what I like, the posts of the door were shaken. And I believe we're in a time of shaking. And everything that God is going to shake, everything that can be shaken, but what is of him, is going to stand. Stand. And what happens? And the house filled with smoke. Imagine if it's filled with smoke. Clive and I were in Phoenix once. I just went to the bathroom, and when I come back, the whole place was full of smoke. And I'm going, where are you, Clive? Where are you? I could hardly find my way back to the seat. I'm going, it's like the smoke had come into the house. It can happen. Can happen. We just don't know what we're going to see. And you know what? We're in the time when heaven is going to hit earth because God has been preparing us and there's something happening because the world is getting so evil. It is getting so bad that God is coming and we're going to shine with the glory. You know, even with great darkness that covers the earth, we're going to shine with His glory. Oh, don't you want a church to shine, to be surrendered? Holy is the Lord. Whoa. Whoa. And what did Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I'm undone. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. His eyes had seen the King of Glory. His eyes had seen. And I tell you, when God comes, there's going to be a greater degree that we're going to see what is inside. And how many of us could the coals touch our lips to cleanse us from criticizing, for gossiping? I went to Rototuna school, picked up my grandchild. Every child that passed me was swearing, and it was just the foulest language. And I'm going, oh, I'm not used to this. The world is getting dark, but we've got the light and the glory, and we've got to make our lives count. Thank you, Jesus. And the seraphim flew to him with hot coals. And in verse 7, where am I? I'm in the wrong way. This way. In verse 7, and he touched my lips with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I just pray, Father, oh God, all of us here need that coal upon our lips. And Father, we pray that you take the sin of the words that we have spoken away. And Lord, words that have wounded people, we just break it off them. Where we've cursed, even cursed our own selves. Oh God, put that coal and cleanse our mouths from all unrighteousness. Lord, forgive us for some have sworn and have said the Lord's name in vain. But we thank you that you're washing that away today. Lord, some have lied. God has spoken to me about exaggeration. I've confessed it, okay. But there's things that God's saying. Forgive the things. Let your words always be with sweetness. Husband and wives, I want to talk to you now. Talk to one another with love and encouragement. Don't pull one another down. Children are fun, aren't they? But keep with me, please, please, please. Isaiah was abandoned to the Lord, ready to hear God. And then what does God say? Whom shall I send? And who will I go? And this is where I really want you in your hearts. Even if it's just down the street or whatever. I want you to say, let's stand and say this together. I'm just going to read it out. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And we have to be prepared. Things are going to change. Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. And this people are the Kiwis, are the New Zealanders, and all the nationalities that have come into New Zealand. We're blessed because we've got every nationality in here. We've got the world in New Zealand. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. So I want you to say, have you got that up there, Noel? Can I go to the next one? No, here on my send me. Oh, sorry, Rose. Yeah, then. Is that the one? Who shall I send and who will go for us? I want you all to read. Then I said, here am I, send me. Now I want you to say that again. My, send me. And Father, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit will come. And Lord, just this is a serious message, and yet it's one of love. Because, you know, I don't know when my time is up. I don't know when your time is up, but let's do God's work right till the end. I hope I've got a, John Bridges, you've got another 10 years, Trish, in you. And so I receive that. But God is saying that he wants to send each one of you. And I really want it to go deep. And Lynette, can you just do a, and your team, we'll just worship. But this is, I just don't want you to get into apathy now and let this message die. I want this message to be eternity. I want it to be that you take it into your spirit and then you wake up in the morning and you say, God, this is another day for you. Do you want to pray, Clive? I'm just praying. He's saying, come alive in me. But I just pray, Father, the Holy Spirit. Lord, you keep saying to me, eternity, eternity, eternity is forever and ever. And Lord, we want to do the best. We want to be that we shine with the glory of God. We want this to be, Lord, our time to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Lord, we want it to be a time that we get out of the box and into your glory. This is a time that we look up like Isaiah did. And I see the Lord, and he's seated on the throne. Don't look down. And break off any worldly thing that's on you. You don't need deliverance. You just need to surrender to God. You just need to get before God and say, God, I want to change. If you've got sexual thoughts or things that take over and you've been sinned that way, God said, get on your knees and surrender. Surrender. Whatever it is that holds you back, whatever it is that the enemy pulls on you, surrender it. And God is a loving God. He wants you loved and loved and loved and loved. And he wants to use you in this hour. So I put my hand up and I say, God, send me, use me, take me. I'm surrendered. Oh God, I don't want anything else but you. I don't want anything else but you, Jesus. Come on, let's just worship him.